Our correspondent Hugh Sykes witnessed the toppling of President Mubarak. He's here, having ransacked his sound archive to plot what's next for people power in the Middle East. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Paddy. Yes, good morning. Jim referred to contradictions, so did you. And interestingly, Mohammed al-Baradei, is he or is he not interim prime minister? We don't know yet. He said last night this was not a coup, but, and I quote, the maturing of a democracy. Well, as you say, I was in Egypt the night Mubarak fell. I was also in East Jerusalem the day that Hamas won. And I've been privileged to be able to watch democracy evolving to different degrees in Iraq, Libya, Tunisia, Yemen and Pakistan. Well, this was Cairo on the evening in February 2011 that Mubarak was removed by the same Supreme Council of the Armed Forces which has just removed Mohamed Morsi.
Egypt is free and I'm telling the universe, Egyptians are coming!
We will never forget this day.
If Mohamed Morsi wins the election, you'll accept that?
Yes, I would accept it because this is the majority.
But the majority that produced President Morsi displaced the very Egyptians who'd made this democracy possible, the revolutionaries in Tahrir Square. They were unprepared for elections and hopelessly idealistic.
The magic of this revolution, that we don't have leader, and this is the unique of our revolution, that we don't have a leader, and we are proud of this.
But with the military still in place, overseeing everything in Egypt, the Brotherhood were doomed as well.
They have the experience of promotion of Islam, but they don't have the capacity and the power and the experience of running a country.
A charge that Mohamed Morsi may face is insulting the presidency, overriding the duty that democracy imposes on winners of elections, that they must govern for all the people, not just for their own supporters. Something that fundamentalist Islamic Salafists, who invaded the office of Habib Kazdagli, dean of a university in Tunisia, also didn't understand.
Some of girls with niqab enter on my office and they disturb all my papers and my book.
It's a very fuzzy mobile phone video, but it is very clear that these two women's faces are completely covered by the integral veil. What is she shouting?
The dean is dictator.
Those Salafist students were indignant about a law which requires women students to remove their veils and show their faces in class. They behaved as if their interpretation of their religion was more important than the law. A member of Tunisia's new democratically elected government assured me that Salafists would not be allowed to become dictators, that the new constitution would permit all religions and none. But it's unrealistic to expect dictatorship to evolve seamlessly into inclusive, tolerant democracy. Here are two conversations I had in Libya.
Who is in control in Libya?
Very difficult question. Revolution, it's anger, want to revenge. You cannot control that.
We need to create a democratic culture. This is what we need, where people will accept each other.
You're starting a new country from nothing, almost.
From scratch, yes. Yes.
And above all, old Gaddafi loyalists who are prepared to embrace democracy now must be accepted, he says. Don't make the mistake the Americans made with the Ba'athists in Iraq.
People are arguing, especially the Islamists. They want a law that these people will not be a part of society. The Iraqi tried to do it with the Ba'ath, and it caused civil war until today.
Democracy began to emerge in Iraq with two general elections in 2005, 2 years after the invasion.
Well, collision.
Collision.
Yeah.
Really good.
Really good.
Really good.
Making history here.
In the street in January, there was a suicide bomb here and two policemen were killed. Are you afraid this morning?
No. See, the people came after the bombing more than before. All of the world, freedom, don't come free.
Another report I got today was that there are three V-bids that are planned to target Shia voting sites.
We want to change. We want new people, new faces. We want peace and wish to live a normal life. And we deserve this.
In the 2010 elections, after 5 years of the Shia-dominated government of Nouri al-Maliki and 5 years of relentless violence, they nearly got their change. A non-sectarian coalition won the elections,
but didn't have an overall majority, so Mr. Maliki remained Prime Minister. Opponents say his administration has become an elective dictatorship that excludes most Sunni Iraqis. A protest organiser now says that Sunnis should take to the streets every day, following the Egyptian example. The Arab Spring touched Jordan too, but the riot police didn't kill unarmed protesters, and the king promised change. In the ancient alleyways of Damascus 5 years ago, a man plays his oud. There were hints of emerging democracy in Syria then, before demonstrators demanding regime change were shot dead, and the country descended into its continuing vortex of violence. That's a senior member of the Syrian Ba'ath Party in 2008, saying that they were on a slow path to democracy, step by step. Is anybody in Syria free to say, I want to be president, it's time for Assad to go? Choosing our president is not possible now, he told me, but that kind of vote will be possible in the future. And it was significant that he was even prepared to discuss it. Egypt's Mubarak and Iraq's Saddam Hussein enjoyed decades of unelected power, partly thanks to billions of dollars from the West. Like the Shah of Iran, who was brought back to power in 1953 after a campaign partly organised by the CIA and MI6 to remove the democratically elected Prime Minister, Mohammad Mossadegh.
Followers of Prime Minister Mossadegh topple a statue screaming death to the Shah in 2 days of bloody rioting. Pictures of the Shah are paraded through the streets as sentiment reverses. The Shah is welcomed home.
Nearly 30 years later, the Shah was ousted by mass support for Ayatollah Khomeini in the 1979 Islamic Revolution. There are elections in Iran, and during the campaign in 2009, there was a sense of genuine democracy in the air, for a while.
Just been handed a poster of the president, Ahmadinejad.
Fascist! Neo-Nazi!
Whoa, that's interesting. The taxi driver has just said Ahmadinejad is a fascist and a neo-Nazi.
Immediately after the election, freedom of speech was closed down. Supporters of the reformist Democrat Mir Hussein Mousavi refused to believe that he'd lost, and there was a swift, violent response to anybody who tried to say that.
This government won't allow us to say what we want. We need freedom. We need freedom.
But the Ahmadinejad era is over now, and this year's election seemed much more democratic, with a clear victory for Hassan Rouhani, a cleric who said, people have indicated that they want change. The best language of the people is the ballot box. In the Arab world, the language of the ballot box was unambiguous in the occupied Palestinian territories in 2006.
The main word on everyone's lips is Hamas.
And the signs are that they're likely to do very well. It's an open race.
It looks as if Hamas are going to do far better than they expect.
There is a very big chance that I will vote for Hamas. Yes. First of all, the Americans are supporting Fatah. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. The Americans want a puppet regime to come in Palestine, and this is what we don't want to see.
A middle-class businessman in East Jerusalem in 2006 warning Western countries, don't interfere, you may not get what you wish for. And something else, Paddy, that rises repeatedly to the surface of my mind is a comment made by an Iraqi friend during the intense insurgency 5 or 6 years ago. More important than democracy, more important than freedom, is stability.
Security, as it's called.
Yeah. Horeya aku bismaku aman. We have freedom, but we have no security, is something Iraqis often say.